It's 88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels. Happy to welcome back Sam Outlaw.
Hello, sir.
For the listeners who do know of your career since day one, you're aware that at one point Sam was well into a career, a 9-to-5 career.
Yeah.
Why don't you share that with the people who perhaps don't know that backstory?
Yeah. Well, you know, when I first got out of college, I knew I loved music, but I didn't really see myself as like a musician really per se. I didn't think I had like a songwriting talent necessarily. So I kind of went into the music industry because I was like, well, I got a business degree and I love music. So that quickly led to a job in marketing, which quickly led to a job. I got kind of thrown into doing advertising sales, and I was in ad sales for like 10 years. And, like you said, I had a decent career of it, made really good money. I had mostly like a lot of free time. So in my free time, I started like kind of writing songs, and eventually like around 2009 started like playing out, doing small, you know, clubs in Long Beach where I lived. And, I did that for a long time and kind of kept music at arm's length. I guess if I'm honest, it was a combination of fear and insecurity. Also having a good job, didn't want to pass up on the money. That's really tough. And, I saw all my other friends that were musicians, and I was like, man, they all seem kind of poor, and I don't know that if I could do that. So I kept it at arm's length for a long time.
But the fact of the matter is, now you realize, I'm sure, the risk you took, the sacrifices, you know, that are involved, the work. I don't think you have a 9-to-5 schedule anymore.
Oof,
do you?
No, man. It's like 25 hours a day. Well, look, that's true, but the truth is I'm only able to even do this because of the people that have supported me. Like you talked about the fact that, you know, like I read the LA Times article today, and there's a really kind quote in there from Taylor Goldsmith from Dawes, who I just look up to that guy so much, and Bo Koster from My Morning Jacket. And so that's one side of it. Then you think about how my wife supports me and all that she's gone through for this stuff.
And you have a child.
I have a one-year-old son now, and... So you got to know. And again, man, we're not rich. You know, there's no fancy cars in the driveway. It's not like she's, I mean, when she met me, I was driving an Audi and living in a really nice apartment. And now,
then you get the big idea that you want to pursue your heart's dream.
And so I think part of it was like, it's one thing to suffer for your art, but it's another thing to ask your loved ones to suffer for your art. And so I am, anything I've got, I've only got because of the people that support me and the people that love me. I mean, my manager, the people at my label, these people believe in me so much and have given everything up, basically, so that I can go out and basically sell my songs door to door.
Car, truck, or train.
It's easy for outsiders to read an article,
right,
and it was a
that
great
has the word star in it,
right, yeah. And yeah, suddenly assume,
yeah,
that where's your private jet,
yeah,
and there's a long way between stardom and performing musician.
I mean, my private jet is a 1999 Ford E150 12 passenger van, and it looks about as
with
good as
14 people in it.
That's right. So, and all our gear. So, yeah, man, look, I definitely still feel like, as thankful as I am for where I'm at, obviously my aspirations are just to get this music to more people. But I was saying the other day, like, even once you get to the next level, there's always going to be the next level. And the
yeah,
next. So if your aspirations are something other than artistic aspirations, then you really quickly get sidelined from the important thing, right? So it's kind of like the, don't get me wrong, I want to have success so I can take better care of my family, have a bigger apartment for my small family that's growing, take care of my musicians better, pay my musicians better.
Gas money.
Yeah. Like, all that stuff is on, like, I'd be fine wearing the same pair of Wranglers and boots and sweatshirt every day. I don't care about the material. I had the material stuff. And at first, that stuff really does it for you. Money really gets you going for a little while.
It's real easy to think you need it.
Yes, that's right. But it's like the law of diminishing returns. After a while, if you're doing it for that, you realize you're a slave to that now.
Mm-hmm.
And then that disgusting feeling creeps in when you realize you've completely lost the plot. So I don't want more success for the sake of money or fame or any of that. But yes, I would love to be able to take care of my people better.
You're finding there is an audience that is embracing Sam Outlaw and liking what you're doing. You certainly want to share it with as many people as you can.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, there's some, I don't know if you ever watched that Bon Jovi doc from a few years back. It was really good. And there's some line in there. He's like, I don't want to play, like, that arena. I want to play, like, the desert. You know, like, I want to play for the biggest audience. Because if you believe in what you're doing and you see that it brings other people joy and it brings you joy, you know, it's kind of like when you start having kids. You're like, oh, having kids is like our love coming together and making more love. This is the coolest thing. You just want it to be bigger because it's better.
I tried my best to play it, 'cause I like the way you sing it to me. I like the way you sing it to me. So I like the way you sing it to me. I like the way you sing it to me. I like the way you sing it.
The new record. You co-produced it with Martin Pradler.
He's a genius, Martin Pradler.
And he worked with Rye.
He's Rye's guy. He works with Mike Campbell all the time.
Guy, by the way, Mike Campbell, who's never played a bad note.
Dude,
I don't think Mike has ever played a bad note.
I'm so obsessed with Mike Campbell.
No, so am I. You do have Taylor and Bo. They've come back and did some work with you on Tender Heart.
Yep.
The question I want to ask, because it's the question that I don't know if you had any real cognizance of it when we first sat down and talked, but I assume your sense of place,
right,
if you will, there's an irony.
Yeah.
I think, well, where did country rock really begin? Well, that traces back to Laurel Canyon.
That's
but
right.
It was by way of Bakersfield. Right. And but then, of course, when you get in the broad-based country genre, Nashville's, I guess, ground zero. Austin has become, you know, Space Station 2. Mm-hmm. How does being from L.A. give you a sense of perspective of what is or isn't country, Americana, whatever label you want to put on it?
I think what it does is it makes you actually think about it less, because in Los Angeles, it's always been a melting pot, whether it be for film or for TV, any kinds of media. Country rock was born out of LA because there's a sense of open-mindedness and excitement here. And there's an aesthetic here that is not other places. The feeling, even just coming in today, I got goosebumps coming back to Los Angeles. And you see the hills, and you've got the water on one side.
The ocean's there.
You've got the desert
on
the
other side. And the desert's right there.
Yeah.
It's pretty close. It's almost arm's length.
That aesthetic creates a sense of kind of excitement, joy. There's also a special sadness in L.A., which I really love. I love getting down and feeling sad. So it's got all of it. L.A. is a very special place. People who don't live here don't understand, and that's fine.
Trouble again. So I owe
I'm watching you work hard, earn, and pay attention to your craft, and I know the gratitude in your heart. I will say that you do belong on that stage tonight, and I know that the people that go to see you will realize that you belong not only on that stage, which has that hallowed sense of where so many people's careers began, but on stages continually bigger and bigger. And we here at KCSN, you know, it's our job to help more and more people discover Sam Outlaw so that the next time the stage is a little bigger in the room, and then the next time, and then the next time, and then you'll get all big time on us, and it'll be hard to get you on the phone. But until then, it's always great to see you.
Scott, that really means a lot, man. Thank
you. It's true because your heart is true. The album is Tenderheart. Obviously, that was an unintentional segue. And tonight at the Troubadour, if there's tickets remaining, you got to go grab them. This guy has given his all, and his all is pretty damn good as you're hearing today, live on 88.5 KCSN. Thanks for coming out, man.
My true pleasure. Thank you.
You got it.